evening and welcome to Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan. We are so thankful that you're here this evening. I have just really only two announcements other than what's on the back here. Remember, tomorrow night, we're not meeting here. It's Quantanilla. And that means you're going to go to somebody's house and have supper. So that's a good thing. So we won't be here. But because we won't be here tomorrow night, that means that we're going to have to take preschool down tonight. And we're going to have to pack it up. And so don't skedaddle real fast tonight when you get through. Hang around. Help us get that torn down so that we can get everything set up for St. Michael's to be in here on Monday morning. Then the other announcement that I have for you is we've got a new thing in the pew racks here. We've got these intercessory prayer cards. They're like this. If you would like us, we have a group that meets on a weekly basis to pray over the requests that are given to us. And if you would like us to pray about something for you, then if you would just fill one of these out, if you want to put your name on it, great. We can be specific and we can come back and check up and see how God answers the prayer. If you don't want to put your name on it, that's okay too. We just want you to know that we have folks that want to pray for you and pray over your needs. So if you have specific needs, just fill it out, drop it in the offering plate, and we will get it to that group of folks who pray every week over those needs. So with that, let's go ahead and join in a time of worship.
Let's just take the first few minutes and prepare our hearts for worship. There'll be some little prayer pointers on the screen. Just tell you what to pray about. Tell you how to focus your heart on today's message. So, let's just take the first few minutes and prepare our hearts. Father, you are too good to us. Father, let it be our joy to worship you. God, let it be a joy to do that stuff. God, it is a joy. It should be a joy. God, for as much as you've done for us, we ought to give our whole lives to you. And yet we don't. We hold back. Lord, forgive us for when I do that. Forgive me when I do that. God, I pray that you will speak. Speak in the service. Thank you.
That
sin on that in our place, God. Lord, if we don't know that personally, God, make that known to us tonight. God, teach us how to proclaim you better. Teach us what it means to proclaim your name. So many times we live our life as if we're all that matters. God Almighty. So God, teach us that that's not about us. That's about you. And it's so much better when it's about you. When we're living for someone other than ourselves. Yeah, thank you for that. Speak in your name.
He loved us so much. Malachi. Malachi, he sent out, he was like, I love these guys. Man, I need you to go speak a word to them of truth, and hopefully they'll listen to you. And then I want you to tell them about the prophets to come. He goes, okay. So Malachi goes, and as we started, he goes into this, and he goes, and behold, I send my messenger, and he will appear, prepare the way before thee. First thing there, there's five reasons we need to proclaim God. First and foremost, we are his messengers. Only the blood-bought saints, that's what we're talking about here. It's only the genuine ones that say, yes, I've been bought by the blood of Christ. He is my Lord. Everybody has to say, I'm saved. But you hardly ever hear Lord. You know, there's something about that, loved one. I mean, we're going to complain to say, but you know what? It's better Lord, because when he's Lord of our lives, we're his servant. He's my Lord. And what he wants, he gets. We'll talk about that behind in a minute. But nevertheless, the first thing here is he sends his messenger. We just discuss is who is it? It's the blood of all saints. And in the old days, the king, when he would travel, he would go and he would send his servant ahead of him a couple of weeks and to prepare the way for him, to get it right. To say, hey, the king is coming, man. Get it right. Because when he comes, it's too late. It's too late. The king is here. It's a done deal. You had your chance. You see, when he would send the messenger, that messenger is you and me. And this world needs it so bad. Needs it so bad. And I'm telling you that it's only that by the grace of God that we can do this. Only by the grace of God. You see, it was him. And you know one thing about this messenger? He knew the king personally. He had a personal relationship with him. It wasn't just a, hey, did you get the memo and go out and tell people? No, no, no. It was a personal relationship. He knew all about that king. And not only that, but he desired for him to come and prepare that way for him. You see, he wanted people to love him. He wants us. So, find reasons we need to proclaim God. We are his messengers. Number two is this. We go on in verse 8, he was my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come. First and foremost there, and the Lord whom you seek. Second, people have lost their interest. These people were not seeking God. Think about it. Why did God have to send a messenger? Because they weren't seeking him. They were not seeking, they were going through the motions, and then they were not seeking God. Just going through the motions. And they lost their interest. And how sad that is. And that's why God sends his messengers. But you see, here's the thing, the Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. And the problem is this world's got it backwards. They're seeking the things of the world. And the thing is in you and I, we have something in a home in our heart, and we try to fill it with so many things, and the only thing that's going to fill it, the only thing that's going to satisfy it, is Jesus Christ. You see? And we try to fill it, and fill it, and I need more, and I need more. And then, you know, there was one time, a couple of years ago, I used to work with girls, not a little, roll-off people, okay, financially. And there was this lady that was a friend of mine, and then she was well off, and her husband had all these companies and this and that. And she had all these toys, cars, you name it, they had it. But she had no joy. And I said, Mary Jane, do you have Jesus? She goes, you know, I've read about it, and I just see too many problems. I said, no, don't worry about that. You need a personal relationship. That's what you need. And I didn't see her for a couple of months, and God was working on her account, and she accepted the Lord. And she said, now, David, after all these years, all these things that I had, I couldn't enjoy them. But now I can. Because God is focused. God is set my goal. And that's why. You see, many people love to go, and they lose their interest. Because, you know, the only thing that I know is this, left up. If you're going to, you're going to ignite passion in somebody else, you need to continually seek him every day. When we wake up in the morning, before our feet hit the ground, we need to just fall to our knees and say, Lord, here I am. Another day you let me be here to proclaim your word. You see? number three is this. We go on and he says, and the Lord with whom you seek, and he will suddenly come. That word suddenly means that it's a surprise. We don't know. You know, many of them in the Bible, we can look and we know the season, but the actual time we do not know. And the king is coming. And the thing is this, people may not have tomorrow. People may not have tomorrow. We take it for granted. We get complacent and say, well, I'll see this person. We've been there for 20 years. And you know, one day they'll come up. I mean, I've heard of people say, hey, you know, I met a Christian today. I worked for this guy for 10 years. I didn't know he was a Christian. We spoke. It's like, how does that happen? Man, it should be bursting out of you. Hey, do you know Jesus? Man, but the thing is, we take it for granted. You see, God has come as a surprise. And that in itself should compel us to tell each and every brother that happens in our life each day. Hey, do you know Jesus? Hey, let me ask you something. You're a brother. Let's be honest, we're God's house. You're a brother. We always ask for blessings, protection, things like that, but we really ask God, give me an opportunity today to proclaim to someone Jesus Christ. That should be priority up there, because guess what? That's what we're here for. We're here for that. We're here to tell other people about Jesus. That should be priority of our Lord, please, send someone that needs you and give you the word. And Lord, just send your spirit and Lord, let me talk to them. Let me share the gospel. That should be priority. I hope you see that in your prayer life. Not only that, but we go on to number four. And he goes on here in the verse. He goes, and something coming in his temple. And even the messenger of the covenant. He's talking about Jesus there. Now, the first messenger was John that he was talking about. John was a radical guy. I'm going to talk about him in a minute. But nevertheless, the second messenger, the one that says the messenger of the covenant. The covenant, these guys were waiting for the Messiah, and they were saying, man, you've been saying that for years. When is he coming? He's not coming. I've been saying that all along. He finally came. Because he's coming, and John's going to prepare the way. But nevertheless, people have forsaken God's authority. People say, oh, he's a born with me. Yeah. They don't believe that Jesus can fulfill this covenant. Jesus is the only one that can fulfill this covenant. He's the only one. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And let me tell you, one day, every knee will bow and confess that his name is Jesus Christ, and he is Lord. All these movie stars, Madonna, The Shack, everybody's going to confess and say one day, hey, you are Lord, they're going to bow down, and it don't matter how much money, it don't matter how smart they are, it don't matter, they will bow down. God is good. I love that song you sang. He's good all the time. And here's the last part, man. These people went on and says, and whom you delight, behold his coming, says the Lord. Last one is this. Five reasons why we need to proclaim God. First of all, we're his messengers. People have lost interest. Maybe there's not tomorrow. People don't believe in his authority. The last one, people have lost their desire for God. Listen to that one. You know why people lose their desire? How is that possible? I'll tell you that. When people lose their desire for God, it's because it's about him, it's not about God. You see what I'm saying? I didn't get what I wanted, Lord, so I lose my desire. It didn't work out the way I wanted to, Lord, so guess what? I'm out of here. When people lose their desire, how sad that is. I hate to run into people and ask them, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Are you still serving? Man, you know something happened. We ain't been 5 years. Give me a break. You see what I'm saying? People lose their desire. My feelings got hurt or something. It just didn't work out the way it did. Boo. Let's get over it. Let's move on. We're on a mission here. Amen. We're messengers. So, look at this in your outline there. It's got Psalm 36, 2. As they sing to the Lord, bless his name. Each day, proclaim the good news that he saves. Proclaim the good news. Let me tell you something, Lovell. Look up here. bless God. But you see, many people, the way they go about it, they want God as their genie or their Santa Claus. Oh yeah, I love God, but when I need something, I'll call on Him. I'll put my order in. And it's not marked that way. You see, many people have the mentality, what can He do for me? No, it's what I can do for Him. I'm the servant. He's the Lord. Yeah. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. Real quickly, before we go on, I just want to say something. You may think it's like, you know, I'm not really that much of a messenger. There's many ways of being a messenger. I want to tell you something. There's three things that I see. That John the Baptist had to have had these things going on in his life. He always continued to sought the Lord. Not only that, but he believed in his authority. That he was the Messiah to come and conquer death and sin. And not only that, but he desired to be on the throne of his life. You see, if you want to be a messenger, these three have got to be in place. And I guarantee you, man, you're going to be so passionate, they're going to see you coming, they're going to walk the other way, and it's all God. Here comes that guy. He has to talk about Jesus, and that's okay. It's okay. That's what we're here for. He kind of shifts gears, you know. And he goes on, and he doesn't tell them what's going to happen. And he goes to verse 2, and he goes, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like an altar's soul. He will sit at the refiner and purify the silver. He will purify those the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to him the Lord an offering of righteousness. All right. Listen. The question says, who's going to be able to stand when he comes? Tell me. I've got to study. Who's going to be the only ones that are going to be able to stand when he comes? The Bible says he's like a fire. Only the blood-bought saints. Those are the only ones. And I want you to look at this. I put on their only genuine followers of Christ will have. It's a certain life. And I hope you see these characteristics going on in your life. Because that's the genuine. When you come to Christ, you will see these things happening in your life. If you don't see this, loved one, there's something going on. There's something not right. I'm not saying you're not saved, but maybe you're being hard-headed. Or hard-headed. One or the other. But listen. Listen what he says here. He goes, but who can endure on that day? His coming. Who can stand? Why is that? Well, first of all, only genuine followers of Christ will have a life that will endure. Let's just back that up in 1 John. Let's just get the gray areas out of the way, because many people, here it is, in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, he says, and this is what God has testified. This is God speaking. It's written in stone, okay? Here it is. He has given us eternal life. Amen. That was a good spot for amen, guys. He's given us eternal life, and his life is in, tell me, look at your scripture. What is it in? His Son. It's not in money. It's not in authority. It's not in power. It's in His Son. It's not in books. It's not in religion. It's in His Son. Yeah. I keep telling people, I was talking to an individual the other day, you know, what church you go to? And this and that, you're all Baptist. Huh? I said, yes, you do. You're just Catholic. I said, listen. When you go to heaven, they're not going to ask what religion. They're going to say, well, you're a follower of Jesus Christ or not. All they're gonna ask, and were you faithful what God did before? You see? But nevertheless, it's a judgment where he goes, hey, who's gonna stand? There's gonna be people that don't know Jesus, that are not washed in the blood. Listen, there's a hell to shun and a hell to gain. God is telling us he's coming. He's coming. Now, everybody says that the rest of this verse says, so whosoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Plain and simple. There's no gray area there. Either you got it or you don't. Okay? Now there's many people out there that claim it. But I want to show you these next couple of steps. This is going to reaffirm where we're at. Okay? He goes on, he goes, okay, he's coming, we've never settled that. And he says, hey, and one more thing before I move on. It's only Jesus. It's not Jesus and. Okay? It's not Jesus and. It's only says, you must have the Son. How much? But I mean, 5%? Some people are doing it that way. Well, yeah, you know, our whole church, it's a month, that's great for me. It's like, really? Wow. You're anemic. You're anemic. And you need some help. But nevertheless, they go on. We need 100% love, man. That's what God requires. You're going to be a servant of God? It's going to require 100%. You're going to see the amen. This next verse. And here's this next verse. Here's where everybody flees. Everybody backs down because of this. And I'm going to talk about some issues here. So you basically, you know, the second thing, only, he goes on here that the verse goes, and the last part of verse 2 goes, for his life, the refiner's fire, and the, like a launderer's soap. Pretty cool, huh? Fire, soap, cleanses us real good, and runs us through. It was really interesting. I think Joel stole my notes. He looked at my notes or something today when we were in prayer time. And the picture is this. The picture is this. It's a silver. He kind of goes silver. Okay, and they get the silver, and they're trying to get all the imperfections to get the pure silver. And what they do, they heat it up real good, and it goes to different stages of fire, so it gets real hot. And what happens in that, big bowl, the impurities rise up, and they remove it. The Bible calls it the boss. And they remove it. And the purpose of this is, and you say, well, what's the purpose of this? The purpose is when it's ready, when it's right, is when the individual that's doing it, he sees his reflection in the silver. You see? And the same thing with you and me. You see, God's love is not a pampering love. It's a perfecting love. Perfecting to the likeness of Christ. That's what he wants. That's what he's after. That you and I, that people see and we be reflectors of Christ. That's what he's after. That's the whole Christian life right there. He said, well, how does he do that? Too excited, man, let me tell you. Oh, I have to get this on, man. All right, we're back on. Keep around and let go of me. All right. I did that for you, brother. Now, nevertheless, we go on here. And let's see, oh yeah, here's a picture. And the thing is, God's love is not a pampering love, it's a perfected love to the likeness of Christ. And look at this verse that I put in there, in Psalms 51, 16 to 17. Remember, these guys were bringing some real name offerings to them because their heart was not right. And they were still going through the motions, coming to church, making themselves feel good. They're dragging themselves to church, punch the car, and somehow they feel like, ooh, God's all excited. Like, oh, they've been to church today. You know, God's not like that. God looks at your heart. And every time you can come every day, listen, it doesn't make you a Christian just because you come to church. Just like if you go and put a chair in your garage, it does not, and you sit there for 24 hours, it does not make you a car. But you see, it goes on here. The fire is fine. He wants a reflection. Well, how does he do that? How do we get there? Well, this is verse right here. The psalmist David said this. You would not be pleased with sacrifice where I would bring it to them. If I brought you a burnt offering, you would not accept it. The sacrifices you want is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Did you get that? It's not about going through emotions. It's about a broken spirit, repentant heart before God. And God's trying to produce something in our lives and bring us to a brokenness. My question is, have you ever been broken? You see? Let me give you a definition of brokenness. Definition of brokenness. Coming before God, humbly before God. And have an attitude. I messed it right here, guys. It's coming before God, an attitude of humbleness and a heart of desperation. And it's then, and only then, that you and I can see God's sufficiency and embrace it. Until then, has that happened? And God wants to break through that. Now let me tell you something. It's some of these imperfections God has to get out of these. God loves you too much. Do you ever hear that idea? God loves you too much to leave you just the way you are. Is this not about the insurance? Okay, you say, no, no, no. It's not about that. God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He wants to make you Christ like. And this is the thing right here. What are some of the things what are some of these imperfections that keep us from having that intimacy with God? I got four of them. These are major. And I can tell you right now, 7 o'clock. Because if you got one of these and you're a follower of Christ, it's coming out. And you're doing everything you can to get it out. Here it goes. Number one, stubbornness. It's my way, man. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the Bible says. It's my way. Got the clock. That's going out. You can bet on it. God loves you. That's going out. Second one is this. Pride. You got a problem with pride? Let's just try it out. Let's say it together. I got a problem with pride. See, some of you have been saved because your pride will let you. Okay? But the thing is this. It's that as pride is this. I know better. I'm better. You see what I'm saying? And that's going to go. God says he resists the proud. He gives him the high school. Away. See, he wants a humble spirit. The next one is this. Willfulness. You can't make me do that. I'm my own man. You can't make me do that. That's on its way out. That's on its way out, loved one. I guarantee you, he would be eager to remove it. And number four is this one. This is a huge one. Independence from God. I don't need God. I don't need you. Let me tell you, that is gone. And God will break you. And will give you every opportunity. And you say, well, what is he used? What are some of the tools? Now, I want you to understand this. I'll take out of context here. God is not causing any of these things. We live in a simple world. There's a lot of things going on. We make bad choices. But we do life. And life, when we do it, things come our way. And God likes to use each and every little thing that he can that will draw us closer to him. How does he do this? What are some of the tools? Number one is there's a broken health. Broken health brings real heart. See what's important. A broken career. Man, I've been studying. I've been doing this. And it just gets hard. A broken relationship. God is drawing me to this. Broken dream. I had a dream that, man, I was going to do this and that, and it just didn't happen. What about a broken heart? Have you ever had a heartbreak? Man. See, God wants to use these things. To refine me to the likeness of Christ. But I gotta say something more. I know refining may not be pleasant when you're going through it. I just had a 4-year refining one of the very end. And I was studying this, God showed me something. Look in verse there where he says, a refiner's fire, larger soul. And then he goes on verse 3 and he goes, and he will sit as a refiner's. As a refiner and purifier of silver. Look at this, look at the picture. The picture is this. He sits, okay, and he's looking. There's three things that bring me comfort in that. Here they are. Number one is this. God is in control. He don't say, hey, Gabriel, why don't you keep looking at the star while I go here and look at something else? No, it's God. He's right there, right on top of it. Right on top of it. He's on control. He's in control of what's going on. He knows exactly how much you can take. He knows when to do it. He knows when to back off. He knows exactly when to bring that word of comfort. Man, that's an amazing thing when you cry out to God. Just the other day, me and my wife were just in prayer. Just God, would you get a word from you? Would you get a confirmation from you? Man, I was very busy with the phone rings. Awesome. We got that confirmation through a brother that was asking for certain things, and it was just something that God needed to hear. He was great. Number two, he sits there, he's in control.
When we're going to the finals, that's how we're finding. That's when he's the closest. That's when he's the closest. Now, the reason we don't see it is because we're focused too much on the hurt, too much on the hate. And I'm not trying to minimize what he's hurting me, but I'm telling you, he's there. He's right there. And you just have to take a step back and say, well, I couldn't be better for you. Doing all that function the way I am, if it wasn't for you being right there. And there's the last one. And we really need to embrace this last one. Remember, it's not meant to destroy us. It's meant to refine us. So whatever you're going through tonight, remember, it's meant to refine us. And if we really embrace that, we can say this, loved one, we can say this. Lord, I thank you. And I thank you for the hurt. But thank you for what you're going to produce in your life. That's what God wants to hear. You see, he's a sovereign God, and either he's God or he's not. Many people jump before the Facebook run. That is what I'm thinking. So, I just want to share a story about brokenness. There was a servant one time, and he served as king. And he would go, and he was back in the old days, and this servant would go to the river for about half a mile from the palace to the river to go get water for his king. And then he would have this big old stick with two big old vases, or whatever you want to call it, and they go down there, and they go all the way down the river, fill them up, and then come back and administer the water the way it would. One of the vases, and that's what I'm going to call it, but got a problem with it, but we'll deal with it later. But nevertheless, one of them was cracked. So every time he would go down and fill it up, by the time he gets to the castle, he only had half water in that one vessel. And that one vessel was like really bad. It's like, you know, I can't serve my king right. And man, what's wrong? The servant said, what's wrong? He goes, why are you so tired? Well, you know, I'm broken. You know, that guy, you know, he brings a whole full of water, and I'm broken only in half. He goes, no, you don't understand. It's in your brokenness that God uses even more. He goes, how? He goes, when I go down to the water, you go down there, you water the plants that are on the king's table. When you go down there, you water the grass that the bulls and the cows eat, and that's the meat that you provide for our king. You provide so much because of your brokenness. You see, that's what God wants. He can use you and me more than the broken. That's what he desires so much. And I pray that you desire that. We go on here, and so we know that only a genuine follower of Christ will have a life that will endure, a life of purification. You see that in your life? Then you go, I'm just going to leave this alone after this. Can you look back 5, 3, 10 years from the day you got saved, that there's something that God changed your taste buds? I mean, that happens. When the living God comes inside of you, man, there's some things that are going to come to a halt. And that's what God is after. And that's going on, and you can look at that, but if you can't, there's some stubbornness. There's some independence going on there, and God's still going after, and that is so sad, because I've seen so many people spend their whole life and holding on to that and miss out on all God's blessings. So we move on. We go here and converge and refine us, purify the fire. The sons of Levi, and I say specifically the sons of Levi, these were the guys who were in charge. They were in charge of performing the ceremonies, and they allowed this going on. Matter of fact, they were probably doing it themselves. And he was especially there. So if we go on there, he's with the sons of Levi. He purifies the sons of Levi and he purges them as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Only genuine followers of Christ will have a life that pursues righteousness. That pursues righteousness. Proverbs 15:9 says this, the way the wicked people is disgusting to the Lord. But he loves those who pursue righteousness. Do you think you see that in your life? Are you pursuing that righteousness? You see, there's a person in the Ephesians that they're talking about an aroma that when Jesus went to the cross and died as a sacrifice, it was an aroma to God. And man is all so great, it's righteousness. And that's what God desires for you and me, that when we pursue righteousness, man, it's an aroma to God that yes, but it's when we're disobedient, it's a stench of his nostrils. But God loves us. You want to give an offering? Who in here wants to give an offering to God? I'm not talking about the best offering you and I can give God is pursuing righteousness, his righteousness. That's the best offering we and you can give him when we pursue it. See, we have to pursue that one. And then we go on. The number four here. It goes on there. It goes on, offering of righteousness. And then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord. And as the days of old, and in 4 years, the last thing is this. Right here it says, it will be pleasant to the Lord. The last one is this. Only genuine followers of Christ will have a mind that belongs to pleasing God. Pleasing God. I like this because they were accusing Paul in this verse that he was in it for the money and in it for this. And he said this. In Galatians 1:10, because obviously I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I'm trying to please God. If I was still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. And that's what many people are fighting. I want to please somebody, and I want to be good with them. And let me tell you something. You can't serve two masters. The Bible says if you only have one master, you will serve one and hate the other. Who are you going to please? Because everybody's pleasing somebody. You better please Christ and go follow Christ. And have that. Download that in your heart. That, man, that's what I'm about. I'm going to please God. That's a conviction. It should be very follow Christ. A conviction that I'm going to do for God that something that pleases him. I tell you. Examine our hearts tonight, brother. If you're out and God says, what I ask you is, in what specific way am I proclaiming to God? Tell me. I don't have to tell me, but ask yourself. Then just put it this way. I'm going to say this, it may produce guilt. And if it does, well, maybe there's something there, brother. Okay? Now the question was, what do you do to proclaim God's word? What do you proclaim God? If God himself came in here right now, and walked out this platform and says, okay, God knows everything, he might say, yes, no, sometimes, depending on the mood, yes, no, no, no. You see, God knows. He's proclaiming. How about the next one? What areas of my life do I need to give over to God? Are you being stubborn? You're being independent. Let me tell you something. God is coming out. It's a losing battle. You're hitting your head against the wall. You're going to lose big time. For the last one. Am I more yielded to the opinions of others or my will than my Lord? Goes back to that Lord. Everybody claims that salvation and his Lord. Huge difference, and you can tell, because they produce righteousness. They allow God to refine them. They want to please God. They live to please God. Listen, God has been said to me, I don't know where you're at, but God does. This altar's going to open up in your hand. If you think you need to bring something to the altar, you're lying. Confess it. it to God. If you want me or Alan to pray for you or any of the others, go be here just now and we'll pray for you. I encourage you to seek God. The only thing that's going to change this world is genuine proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it needs to be alive in you and me. Father God, we just bow down before you tonight. Father, we know you love us. Father, we just want to seek to please you and proclaim you, Father, for this lost and dying world. Father, there may be some things tonight that hinder from us doing that, Lord. And I just ask that you would reveal it to those that we can, Lord, to me. Father, let us have a heart that desires to have you, Lord, 24/7, full throttle in our life, Lord, for you, to please you, to pursue your righteousness, Father. But Father, when a time of refining comes, Lord, we look at it as something that you're trying to teach us, to equip us with, Lord, to draw us closer to you. Father, we thank you, because you are me. You're always good. You're always good. And you are. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You pray with me. Father, God, teach us how to pray any better. Examine our hearts, God, as we learn today. Father, you be Lord of our lives. I'm tired of holding this off for me sometimes. God, you commanded everything I have is yours. I want to run away from that so many times, God. Why don't we all do that? God, help us to go out of this building tonight, ready to proclaim your name to this lost world. Ready for you to save souls, God. Let us be ready for that. God, you want to do mighty things in us. You want to save people. You want to save this community. But God, if we're not going to do our part, then how's it going to happen? So God, don't let this end here tonight. Let us take this with us as we do. Amen. Amen.
I just want to thank y'all for coming tonight, and I just hope that you heard from God, and that you just take it out and proclaim God's word, and just take this message to heart. I guess that's it for tonight, and we'll chat on this message. Thank y'all for the opportunity.